Brother Jerry and I were talking a little bit this morning about why it seems like that we pray and the prayers aren't answered as quickly as we like. And Jerry was telling me then, reminding me this morning about how he's been listening to some of Pastor Kenneth Hagin's tapes, and how he really stressed about the importance of not only praying, but worshiping. And how worship is the thing that adds the faith to our prayers. Because it's one thing to pray, and as Jerry told me this morning, Brother Hagin said you can pray till you're blue in the face. But if you're not a worshiper, then you're not really giving fuel to the prayers being answered. And I was telling Brother Jerry this morning that, you know, one of the things that I noticed about Brother Dave Roberson, in his monthly letters, I don't think there is one that goes by that he does not talk about the importance of worship and praise and what it can mean to how we are to stand and before God and do the things that God wants us to do. So turn with me to Psalm 149. In Psalm 149, it says, "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints." It says, "Praise ye the Lord." So most of the time when we read something like this, we say, you know, well, David wrote this, so this is kind of something that's optional to do. But it says, "Praise ye the Lord." He's not giving you an option. He is not giving you an option. This is something that you have to do. Because you're going to see as we read this entire psalm that praising the Lord, singing a new song unto the Lord, is what's going to make the difference in the end of this psalm. So he says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the..." Oh, I got number 48. That was a good one too. "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto him a new song." And we know, as we've been told before, that much of the book of Psalms is prophetic for the body of Christ. Okay, so when you sing unto the Lord a new song, you're singing unto the Lord in a language that you don't understand. And we know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says that I will sing with my understanding, and I will sing in tongues to the Lord also. Okay, I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing with my understanding. This is what he's talking about here in Psalm 149, verse 1. "Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him." Now notice the psalmist says, let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Anytime you see "let" in scripture is a decision point for you. You're either going to let or you're not going to let. And whenever you let, you are opening the door for the Spirit of God to work in your life. Okay? So let Israel rejoice. Let Grace Christian Center rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. So we see here, he says, let us rejoice. And then also let us be joyful in our King. Okay, in our King. Verse 3. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them praise his name in the dance. Now, there are still too many of us in this congregation who are not praising. There are still too many of us who are not worshiping. Okay? We need to let. We need to let. Okay? Because, see, when you let, you are allowing God's glory and anointing to flow when you let. But when you're not letting, you're holding him back. You're keeping him from doing what he really wants to do in your life. Okay? In this particular case, we're talking about praise and worship. It says, let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord does what? Taketh pleasure in his people. Wait a minute. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. What is the context? In the people who praise, in the people who rejoice, in the people who sing, in the people who dance. He takes pleasure in that. You know, sometimes we sit here and we think, well, you know, I don't want to look foolish in front of people, so I'll clap a little bit. Praise Lord, I'll raise my hands a little bit. But when you read here in Psalm 149, David is saying, you know, you let it all hang out. You don't get shy about who you love. You're not shy about who you want to worship. You let it be known. And then when you do that, it says the Lord takes pleasure. The Lord takes pleasure. Now, notice that it says the Lord takes pleasure, okay, in his people who are worshipers and praisers, okay? Now, remember back over there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Are you seeing the connection? Okay, you seeing the connection? Worship and praise plays a role in your faith. It plays a role in your faith. Make the connection. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. And this word salvation doesn't mean getting born again, but it means in deliverance. He will beautify the meek in deliverance. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let the saints be joyful in the life that God has given them. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Sing aloud upon your bed. Don't go to bed with a heavy heart. You go to bed singing. You go to bed rejoicing. So that as you do, God takes pleasure in you. Go to bed singing. I don't care what kind of day you had. You go to bed singing. I don't care how you feel. You go to bed singing. Go to bed singing. Let the high praises of God be where? In their mouth. Let the high... Now, we have read six verses. We have seen one, two, three, four lets. And with each let, we've seen a rejoice in him. We see be joyful in our king. We've seen praise his name. No, we've seen five lets. We've seen let them sing praises. Okay. Let the saints be joyful. Let the high praise of the Lord be in your mouth. Guys, if you don't make a decision to let, if you don't make a decision to do those things, they are not going to happen. Because as you've seen here tonight, the enemy of your soul does not want you singing. He does not want you praising. He does not want you joyful. He does not. He wants you gripped with fear. God says, let the high praises be in your mouth. Let the high praises be in your mouth. And not only let the high praises be in your mouth, but you have praises in your mouth and you have a two-edged sword in your hand. Okay? So what is he telling us? Not only do we confess the word, but we praise. We praise. We praise when we confess the word. Because see, when we add that, you know, we already know that when we speak the word, we're adding that second edge when we speak the word. Okay? And that second edge is what cuts through everything in the realm of the spirit to accomplish everything God wants accomplished in this realm. So what David is telling us is that not only are you to praise the Lord, the high praises of God be in your mouth, but so the two-edged sword in your hand. They go hand in hand. Now, we're getting to where I want to go. Why does God want all of this to happen? Verse 7. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. What he's talking about is the vengeance that he's talking about is this is symbolic. Okay? Because all of this is really referring to the enemy of the soul. Okay, the enemy of the soul. You execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. The heathens are those that are coming against us in terms of spiritual warfare. That's what he's talking about here. and to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Hold your finger here and go to Ephesians chapter 6. You see where it talks about to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron? In Ephesians chapter 6, and this is a record we're all familiar with. Let's see who he's talking about. Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not. Make the connection. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what he's talking about here, to bind the kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. How do we do that? Speaking the word and have the high praises of God in our mouths. Okay? When Brother Don was going through what he was going through tonight, I don't know if you noticed, you kept hearing us singing and you kept hearing us praying in the spirit. Because we know from Romans chapter 8, verse 26, that sometimes we don't know what we need to pray for. And so the Spirit makes intercession for us through groanings that cannot be uttered. That's what we were doing. Praying in the Spirit. Still the worship was going on as Brother Don was being taken care of. Okay? And that is what he's talking about here. And then look at verse 9. We worship, we praise, we sing, we rejoice, because we want to execute upon them the judgment written. The judgment written. What's the judgment that is written? Jesus has already come, and he's passed judgment. All of those who choose to live the life in the kingdom of God can make that choice now. That's the judgment that is written. We now can live in the kingdom of light and no longer be bound by the kingdom of darkness. And the judgment that has been passed is that we have life eternal and life without end. Life without end. And not only that, ladies and gentlemen, Scripture says, this honor have all his saints. This honor have all his saints. The honor we have is rescuing the lost and bringing them into the kingdom by executing the judgment that has already been written. We execute the judgment that has been written. Okay? When Pastor and several others were praying for Brother Don, they were executing the judgment that had already been written. That's what they were doing. Speaking the word into his life, praying into his life. And those of us who were praying and continue to pray, we were doing the same thing. I saw Brother Don lay down as I was standing where I was. And then I saw him sit up. And I saw him dab his mouth and he dab his head. And then I saw him talking. And then I saw him stand up. It was almost like he really didn't want to leave. But he did. We did. It's because, ladies and gentlemen, we did what we were supposed to do. Okay? So I wanted to share that with you because I really truly believe we do not, we've been taught it over and over again. God has given us words of knowledge, prophecy over and over again about worship and about praise. And we hadn't caught on yet. Because you know when you have caught on to something that God is trying to tell you, when he stops telling you. If he has to continue to tell you something over and over again, it's not catching on. Praise and worship added to your confessions is what is going to take you to that next level. It's going to take you to that next level. And ladies and gentlemen, God needs us at that next level. The Brother Dons in this world, like tonight, needs us at that next level. Can you imagine what could have happened if we were not all doing what we were doing at the same time that the other folks were ministering to him? I truly believe it could have been it would have been something different. It would have been something different. But we did what we have been taught to do. We did what we've been taught to do. Now, we have been taught to praise. We've been taught to worship. We need to do it. We need to do it. And make a commitment to do it. You know, treat praise and worship like you treat eating. How important is eating to you? Praise and worship needs to have the same importance. It does. If you want to go to that next level. Amen? Amen. Please stand.